Now let's continue on in John 14 so we can understand about the Holy Spirit of God concerning Jesus Christ and the Father. Now let's pick it up here in verse 18 and see what Jesus said. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Now he did come and teach for what? 40 days and 40 nights before he ascended into heaven. But he's talking about how he is going to come with the Spirit to individuals who respond to him. All right? Verse 19, yet a little while the world shall see me no longer, but you shall see me because I live, you shall live also. In that day you shall know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. All right, this shows the ongoing relationship that we need to have with God the Father and Jesus Christ constantly. And that is accomplished through the Holy Spirit. Now let's see what is required, because this runs totally contrary to what the Protestants say. Now the other day, Dolores and I were eating a hamburger, and this it's called Johnny's Bar and Cafe. And they have the best hamburgers in town, so we go there. And they have a good price. Now, the owner of the bar, I know, and he also had on the side, he had his own painting company and handyman company, and years ago I had him do some work on our house. And lo and behold, one day he showed up at my office and I gave him a Bible. He said, well, said, I'm on the wagon. I found the Lord. And I said, well, good. Let me give you a Bible. So I gave him a Bible. How much of it he read, I don't know, but anyway. So the other day, Dolores and I were in there waiting for our hamburger to come. So he comes out of the kitchen with a little cup of soup. And he said, here, try this. This is delicious. And Dolores said, is there ham in it? And he said, yes. And she said, well, we don't eat any pork at all. And he knew that that had to do with what he would consider our religion. Mm-hmm. But you see, you can't have a religion. You have to have God's way of life. There's a difference, see. So he said, oh, well, when the Lord came, all the laws changed. Yeah. Yeah. Just like that.
Yeah, you read the book, Fred.
See? And I said to him, that's a lie. And he took the soup and went back in the kitchen.
Yeah.
See?
Boy.
Okay, now, you have to do verse 21. You cannot come to God your way. The eyes, the seven eyes of the Lord going to and fro in the world will not recognize you if you're coming to God your way. Now, this also applies to those who've been in the church a long time, who then they get all exalted, like Hezekiah did, and proclaim themselves to be some great one, and God had to leave them to try them. See? No. Always. Now notice, verse 21, the one who has my commandments and is keeping them, present tense, participle, ongoing. And my friend, oh, and he owns Johnny's Bar and Grill. And yet he's on the wagon. He stayed dry. You have to give him that much. Okay? But you don't come to God your way. So this is, who has my commandments, everybody who has a Bible has them, right? And is keeping them. That is the one who loves me, which then the negative of that is, if you're not keeping the commandments of God, you are not loving him. Because John also wrote in 1 John 5:3 that this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, correct? Yes. And he says, and the one who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now this became a mystery. A lot of people say, well, God appeared to me. I had a dream. I had an email sent to me by this movement that is going to make the world a paradise in 2 years. And then Christ will come. And I answered him, you are not Christ. That is Christ's job, not our job. Well, he appeared to me and told me. Well, to manifest himself to someone became a mystery to Judas, who was not Iscariot, and he said to him, Lord, verse 22, what has happened that you are about to manifest yourself to us and not to the world? How is that going to take place? And it's still an ongoing thing today. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Now, singular there means the whole message. So all of the pretense of Protestantism that they love the Lord, please understand, they are well-intended, but good intentions are not truth. Sincerity is not faith. He will keep my word. Now what happens when you set your course to do that? And my Father will love him. Now we have up here, the one who loves me, verse 21, shall be loved by my Father. And my Father will love him. And notice what takes place. When the Holy Spirit comes in you, and that has to be through repentance and baptism, and we, now that's something, we will come to him and make our abode with him. Well, that's something that you need to really grasp, see, because we're going to see there are two parts to the Holy Spirit of God. We'll see that. Verse 24, the one who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So anytime anyone rejects the words of Jesus Christ, they're rejecting God the Father. And the way that Christ is manifested to someone is that they are convicted in spirit because they are answering the call and God is choosing them. Many are called, but few are chosen. See? And you choose God by obeying, and then God's Spirit comes to be with you. That convicts you of further sin and leads you to repentance, because God is the one who leads you to repentance, Romans the second chapter. Right? Okay. God is the one who leads you to repentance. God is the one who draws you. Okay. Make our abode with him. Okay. The word of the Father. All right, let's go on. We'll see this. We'll come back to this in just a second here. All right. Now, let's think on this here in just a bit, okay? Let's go to verse 26. But when the Comforter comes, even the Holy Spirit, and that's always in neuter, it is the power of God, which the Father will send in my name. So the Father sends the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to come back to verse 23 and key on this. We will come to him and make our abode with him. And the we is understood, and we will make our abode with him, you see. So the two of them, which the Father will send in my name, that one shall teach you all things and shall bring to your remembrance everything that I have told you. That is everything that they needed to know to preach the gospel. Okay? Now, hold your place and come back here to John 6, 44 and 45. So let's read this into the record so we get all the scriptures together on how the process happens. John 6, verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, that last day is not the last great day, but it is Pentecost, and Pentecost is the 50th day or the last day of the count to Pentecost. That's why Pentecost is the day of the first resurrection. Now, notice verse 45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. What does it say here? And when the Comforter comes, even the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, that one shall teach you all things. That's why when you study the Bible, it is a spiritual exercise. It's not like reading a book. The Bible is special. Every word in the Bible, in the original, is God-breathed or God-spirited. God's Spirit is behind every single word in the Bible, in the originals. That's why translation is so critically important, because unless you are honest and faithful in translating, and you adhere to the Word of God and don't insert your own ideas into it, which has happened with all these modern translations. And they have been done by committees of men who are not converted, who do not obey God, who do not follow Christ, and they are lobbied by special interest groups, the feminists and the homosexuals, so that they can take away the gender, masculine gender, in the Bible. And that's why when I finally made up my mind to do the New Testament and publish it, that was in 1995, and I had received, someone sent it to me, the Inclusive New Testament, where they went through and they neuter gendered everything that they could. And when I came to the point where they said, the name of God is a metaphor. Well, it's not a metaphor. The name Father is a metaphor. So to make it easier for people to understand the nature of God, we have translated it Father / Mother. So that the reader can contemplate on who God is. So, after studying the Greek for 17 years and doing study translations, I said at that point, I've got to do the New Testament. This cannot stand. If we in the Church of God stand and let something like this go without an answer, God is going to judge us. So, understanding the Bible is a spiritual experience. That's why also church and teaching is a spiritual experience. It is not because someone is a great speaker. God can confound the greatest speaker in the world unless they yield and repent and preach the Word of God. And the truth is, everyone who is teaching has got to understand that you cannot teach. You can preach the words, but unless you have the Spirit of God in you, and those whom you are teaching have the Spirit of God in them or with them, so they can understand, you are there as a vehicle to help them in the spiritual experience of understanding the Word of God. See? It's not a reward. It's not because someone is a good speaker. All of those things are required, but the question is, are you converted? Do you love God? Do you fear God? Do you want to handle the Word of God faithfully all the way through? See, because here is the result of it. John 6 and verse 45, therefore everyone who has heard from the Father, because the Father draws them, and has learned. So there is an educational experience that must take place. See? And has learned comes to me. That's why we need the words of God. Now, come down here to verse 63 for just a minute. Verse 63. It is the Spirit that gives life. And also, as we saw last time, it is the Spirit that reveals and gives understanding, correct? Yes. That's why when you read and study the Bible and you go along, and all of a sudden something becomes clear, like there's a light, bing, that goes on. That's the working of God's Spirit while you're reading and studying. See, this is what God wants. He doesn't want us to take the Church of God and pattern it after the evangelicals, because they don't obey God and they don't have the Spirit of God. And as we covered, who is the counterfeiter? Satan the devil. Who is the prince of the power of the air? Satan the devil. Okay? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. That's why you can never accomplish spiritual things by physical means. Never. You cannot accomplish righteousness in a nation by political means. The only way there be righteousness in a nation is if the people are taught the laws and commandments of God, and this becomes the format, the basis for the law of the land. That's why when Christ returns, that's exactly what's going to happen. See? Now notice, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. It's not just paper and ink. The paper and ink must be a faithful translation of the Word of God in order to convey spirit and life while you study, while God's Spirit is working with you, you see. Okay? Now, let's come back to John 14. All right, let's come over here to John 15 now. John 15 and verse 26. It's very interesting. John 14 and verse 26, let's reread that and then come to John 15 and verse 26, okay? But when the Comforter comes, even the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, that one shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Now verse 26 of chapter 15. But when the Comforter has come, which I will send to you from the Father, so it is a joint operation. See? From the Father and from Christ together. Now, what did he tell us in John 17? I and the Father are one. And the goal and purpose is that we all may become one with the Father and Christ as they now are one. See? Okay? But notice, but when the Comforter is come, which I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of the truth, which proceeds from the Father, that one shall bear witness of me. So it comes from the Father. Christ is involved in sending it also. Now, this becomes a very important thing to understand concerning the Holy Spirit. Now, let's come to Romans 8. Now, Romans, the 8th chapter. Now, we're going to go through this and analyze it and come from where we were carnally to where we are spiritually. Okay? And chapter 7 lets us know we have a lot of things to overcome. We have lust to overcome. We have lying to overcome. We have, you know, all the pulls of the flesh to overcome. And that's why we end up doing things that we don't want to do, but we do them because we yield to the flesh when we should not have. But we can repent because that's not a sin unto death. Okay? Now, how do we stand before God? Because we have this battle defined in Romans 7 going on in our lives all the time. Okay? Verse 1. Consequently, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who are not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, living by the words of God. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life, and the flesh profits nothing. Okay? That's what we're trying to do. This is what God's Spirit is leading us to do. Now, here is what God had to do in order to make that possible. Verse 2, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has delivered me from the law of sin and death. Doesn't mean it's taken your carnal nature clear away from you. You have a deliverance from you if you keep the faith and are working and overcoming. Now, this answers the question, verse 3, why couldn't the children of Israel obey God? Because they didn't have the Spirit of God. So when anyone says, well, under the Old Covenant, the Jews, because they think that the Old Covenant is Judaism, they receive salvation by law-keeping. Well, if they receive salvation by law-keeping, why is it that they didn't keep the law? See? And if they receive salvation by law-keeping, why is it then that God didn't continue that program? Because salvation, is it not? Well, New Testament reveals in 1 Peter that the prophets and certain of the righteous kings, and of course going clear back to the patriarchs, those are the only ones that receive salvation in the Old Testament. Now, the rest of the people, the rest of the nations, and remember, God was only dealing with the children of Israel, correct? Wasn't dealing with the other nations. But human nature befalls all of us, doesn't it? Verse 3, for what was impossible for the law to do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Now, very important thing, no law can make you do anything. The law defines what sin is. The law has the power of God's judgment behind it, that if you transgress, you suffer the penalty of the law. But it has no power to make you do it, because God gave that choice to every human being. We choose to do it, and motivated by the Holy Spirit of God. So here's what God did. God, having sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now, he was talking about the law of sin and death in chapter 7 and also right here in chapter 8. All right? Here is the key concerning Christ. Now, if you don't have the Passover book, you write for it. There's a reason why we have the Passover book. And it explains this verse very clearly, that Jesus Christ had to have inherited human nature from his mother Mary in order to be the Son of Man. And he inherited the nature of his Father in heaven. But Jesus had to carry in his own body the law of sin and death in him and never sin in order to be the sinless sacrifice. Now let's read it. Having sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and that means the exact sameness, and for sin, that means an offering for sin, like John wrote, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. because all human sin goes clear back to Adam and Eve. And part of the judgment that God put upon them was that they would die. And they also had a nature where then they had the law of sin and death within their members, as Paul wrote of. So if we have it in our members, and Christ would come without carrying human nature within his own body, how could he be the sin offering for the sins of all human beings? No. For sin condemns sin in the flesh. Whose flesh? Jesus' flesh. All right? So you write for the Passover book. We'll send it to you. You can call the office or email us, either one. Come here to 1 Peter, the second chapter. 1 Peter, the second chapter. Let's begin here in verse 21. Let's see what Peter wrote of this. And he helps add to the understanding here. See? Remember how that ties in? We'll go to Hebrews, the fourth chapter, when we're done here. Okay? Verse 21, 1 Peter, the second chapter. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that you should follow in his footsteps, who committed no sin, though he had the law of sin and death within him. So you see, Jesus overcoming was no comparison to our overcoming. You understand that? See? Carry the law of sin and death and yet never sin. And if he sinned once, then he would die for his own sins, correct? Neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When suffering, he threatened not, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Now notice verse 24. Who himself bore our sins within. Now the Greek there is in. E-N. In. Within his own body on the tree. So that we, being dead to sins, may live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Okay? So that's how he was the perfect sacrifice. Sin had to be condemned in the flesh of Jesus Christ. So he had to carry the law of sin and death. Now back to Romans 8. Now verse 4. In order that the righteousness of the law, by keeping it in the Spirit. Now if you don't have the series, God's Grace and Commandment Keeping, you write for it and you study it and you go over it, you see, so that you understand that all commandment keeping for Christians spiritually is accomplished through the grace of God by his Spirit, in order that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who are not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And we'll get into being led of the Holy Spirit. What does it do for it? How do we know? How do we yield to the Spirit? And all of that. Now notice. For those who walk according to the flesh mind the things of the flesh. And that's where people get off the track. They start doing things from a carnal point of view. But those who walk according to the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. That's what your mind is on. The things of God, the Word of God, how I'm to live. And when I sin, go repent. Ask God to cleanse it away. That's spiritually minded. Now, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So this is what it has to be with the Spirit of God within us. It doesn't make us arrogant. It doesn't make us better than the world. It doesn't say that, oh, yeah, well, I'm converted and you're not. No, I'm converted and you're not, and I better work very hard to make sure I stay converted and yield to God and endure unto the end and be faithful. Just the opposite, you see. Verse 7, and here's the verse you read all the time, right? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. All right. If then you have the Spirit of God and you're operating spiritually minded, then you are subject to the law of God to be looking at it, to keep it in the spiritual letter of the law as Jesus defined. Now, the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth, operates within our minds, does it not? Yes, it does. All right. What does the Spirit of truth do in our minds to help us get rid of sin? Because when you repent and you are baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, you're just starting. Now you need to overcome. But your mind has been programmed with all the carnal things and all the sins of your life, correct? Yes. Those have to be cleansed out of there. So you need the sermons that I did some time ago, the washing of the water by the word. So what happens with the Spirit of God in you? You go along and all of a sudden, bang, the Spirit of God will reveal you have a sin in your mind and you need to get rid of it. You ever experienced that? Okay. A lot of people think, oh, well, am I really converted? Yes. But the Spirit is helping you to see there's still sin you need to repent of and get rid of. See? Okay. Let's go on. Verse 8. But those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, we'll talk about pleasing God and the Spirit of God and all of that here as we go along. Okay. Let's go ahead and go through some more verses so we'll bring you up to date where we are with the Father and Christ, will make our abode in you. Okay? Let's see how that's defined right here in Romans 8. However, you are not in the flesh, though you're still walking in the flesh, but you have the Spirit of God and God views you differently. See? But in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is indeed dwelling within you, then we'll talk a little later how the Spirit is to lead us, how the Spirit teaches us and all of this, okay? But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, now notice the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. But if Christ be in you by the Spirit of Christ, which helps us develop the mind of Christ, the body is indeed dead because of sin. However, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now notice verse 11 becomes very important to understand, because we saw how Jesus said the Father would send the Holy Spirit and that he would send the Holy Spirit. Right? Now notice it here, verse 11. Now if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling within you, the Spirit of him, who's that? The Father. See? Because the Father sends the Spirit, Jesus sends the Spirit, so you have the Spirit of Christ, and as we will see, you have the begettal of God the Father, so that you are now a child of God the Father. See? Notice. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling within you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal bodies because of his Spirit that dwells within you. So the Holy Spirit of God has two aspects. One, from Christ the Son. Two, from God the Father. Okay? Here it talks about both. Now we'll go ahead and pick it up next time about What about the Spirit of the Father? How do we receive that? For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.